Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Kelly Leonard is in our studio. He is the guy from Second City and regularly joins us to tell us some stories. He's this, I would even say, communications expert. You would not argue with that, right?
No, that's probably right.
Vice President of Creative Strategy, Innovation, and Business Development, the Second City, and the host of Getting to Yes And. It's a podcast you can find everywhere, including at WGNradio.com. In the latest podcast, you talked to, was it police officers?
No, sort of. Dr. Sandy Jo MacArthur and Dr. Luann Pennell have each 20 years of experience with training for the Los Angeles Police Department, and they helped create this program at the University of Chicago Crime Lab, which is called the Policing Leadership Academy. It's like a five-month program that all sort of commander-level law enforcement go through.
From throughout the country?
From throughout the country. And I talked to those two, and then Tyler Dean Kempf, my colleague, and Tyler and I ended up leading workshops inside this program.
How did you bump into this group?
So this is so weird. My friend Phil Clement is the CEO of World Business Chicago. So I've known Phil since I was doing experimental films with him at New Trier High School in the 80s. And he was at Aon for years, and now he runs this program. And he invited me to a lunch, and I got sat next to Rosanna Ander, who is the founding executive director of the Crime Lab. And I was telling her a story, because we had gotten a call at Second City like 2 weeks earlier. And it was it came into my colleague Tree Branch. Yes, that's her name. And it was a message, and it said, "Hey, this is Vince D'Alfonso from the FBI. Can you please call me back?" So we think this is a gag, right? The FBI is not calling us. Well, indeed, she called him back. And during COVID, so this is like 2 years earlier, he saw me deliver a keynote virtually, like on Zoom. And I talk a lot about improv and negotiation. This is just kind of a topic that we've hovered around, that we kind of dealt with. But I also talk about improv and its ability to pivot and be agile and be resilient and all that. And he basically started listening to the podcast and it was like, "I think you guys might be able to help us at the FBI National Academy." So Vince D'Alfonso is a retired FBI agent who teaches at the academy, and he's a legend. So one of the negotiations he did when he was working as an agent was he was the guy who did the negotiation to get Captain Phillips safe from the Somali pirates. He also led the negotiation to get the Boston Marathon bomber from out from the boat. I mean, this guy's, and he's funny. And he invited us to Quantico for a week to observe classes and maybe teach some. So they had to do background checks. So this wasn't happening for a while. And so when I sat down next to Rosanna Ander, I was telling her the story. And she was like, "Wow, that sounds really interesting. Let's have lunch." So we had a separate lunch, and she introduced me and my team to her folks, and they had a session coming up, and they were already looking, they were thinking that the law enforcement that they teach over this period, they didn't have a strong curriculum in storytelling, and they're like, "Well, Second City, I mean, these are theater people."
Can I just insert that I'm really happy to hear that the local police department, or even at the crime lab, or the FBI are that interested in a soft skill like this?
Right, right. Well,
God bless
believe me, I'm very surprised and not sure what reaction we would get. But they didn't say, like, they were like, they didn't even necessarily look at what we were doing. We kind of told them this is how. So we went in and led this workshop. And, you know, of course, at the beginning, arms are crossed, like, who are these idiots, which is fair. But very quickly, they got it. You know, we led the yes and exercise, which I've talked about here before. And we talked to them about, you know, this is an exercise that allows you to be in a framework of creating abundance. You know, when do you need more options? Well, in a negotiation scenario, you want as many options as humanly possible. So we did that, and we did other exercises, and we did a whole, Tyler's really good in storytelling. He taught at Columbia in both my wife's comedy program and the school and the film department. So he gave them storytelling structure. And by the end, we're hugging these people. And it was just like, wow, this was really lovely. And apparently we got some of the highest marks that anyone's ever gotten in the program.
Hmm. What's an example, Kelly, of what you were doing as an exercise with these commander-level officers?
Yeah. So one of the things that we ended up hearing a lot about afterwards, so we're glad we covered it, was this idea of divergent thinking. So the idea there is, the way we as human beings regularly think is we want to see the pattern that makes sense. We want 1 + 2 = 3. But in the world, that is not always the case. You know, it might look like 1 and 2, but it could be something different that we're just not seeing. So we have to teach our improvisers, and then in turn these folks, how to practice divergent thinking. So we led them through an exercise called Point and Untell. It's very simple. We paired people up. We said, you're going to walk around the room, and one person in the pair is going to point to an object, and the other person has one job, and that is to say what the object isn't.
What the object is not.
Yep. So if I point at this.
Football.
Yeah, I just point to a screen. And I point to that. And
an automobile.
It's not easy. So
it is easy.
It isn't.
Wait a minute. You just pointed to a light and I said automobile.
You did. You did well. But as you do this 10, 15, 20 times, it becomes increasingly hard.
Really?
Not to call the thing is.
I believe you.
Yeah. And they did too. And they got it, right?
You notice I did stammer a little bit on the second point.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And I decided not to keep going because this is not a visual
right.
show. So people don't know what I'm pointing at. But and we talked about the idea of you have to, you know, not get so caught in a pattern that seems to make sense. And look, these are, you know, senior law enforcement. They deal in this.
But I'm sorry, Kelly. So what is the value or purpose of that even exercise?
It allows you to work the muscle of divergent thinking. It allows you to not just jump to a conclusion that the thing you're seeing is the thing you think you're seeing, because you don't know what else is behind that door.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to point to something and you say what it is, because I don't know how many times my wife has said, just it's right there, and she's pointing to something and my eyes are saucer size and I don't know what she's pointing at. Or is it the sofa cushion or is it the magazine on the sofa, you know? And then I'm like, please don't. I'm not an idiot. Just give me a little more help here.
That's a related but different problem.
Yes, okay. Never enough about me. Keep going.
So they really got that, and then we passed our background checks. We got that notice. So I guess I should officially thank the Kenilworth Police Department for expunging whatever records they had of me.
Boy, that's amazing.
From the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
And we went to Quantico. And I'll tell you, that was a trip. First of all, you have to drive in. You have to pass like 3 different checkpoints where you give them your papers and they stamp your papers. And it's almost like something out of like Silence of the Lambs, right, where you see Marines running and doing push-ups on the side. And then you start to hear the gunfire because there's all these different ranges and they're practicing that kind of stuff. And Vince took us around the campus and they have a thing called Hogan's Alley, which is like a Hollywood backlot where they practice.
Oh,
so yeah. There's a subdivision.
Who's the they in this case? The Marines or the FBI?
FBI.
Yeah.
And senior agents or police personnel from around the country who are who got into this program, the National Academy program. And at Hogan's Alley, though, we're driving by and I go, Vince, stop the car. Because I look up and there's a perfect replication of the Biograph Theater.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's right there. And not inside. I mean, it was a movie theater, but it didn't look like Biograph inside. But I can only assume it was because of Dillinger, you know.
I was just going to say, that crime's been solved. But suppose you're in a public place.
That's right.
And just for fun, we'll recreate the Chicago.
And here's the other weird thing. So it's all these fake facades. There was one facade that was not fake. It was a Subway sandwich shop. It's a guy in there. That's where we got sandwiches. And no one could explain to me why this exists. But then we started attending classes and we were observing the teaching. I was blown away. I mean, Vince's class, in terms of a case study around a hostage situation gone awry where they had film. So it was like looking at game tape, except it was life and death. And he was so good. And this particular lesson, all these things went wrong. And at the end, He basically sort of said, so what's the lesson of this? And the lesson at the end of this particular case was actually probably would have all been fine if they did nothing. So he's like, you got to remember to these folks and who are taking these classes that they'll go through walls, you know, for people. But sometimes doing nothing is the right move. So that was a very powerful lesson.
I think there's so many times when there's a police interaction at an automobile stop or, say, a well-being check. Remember the case in Springfield where the woman went to get a pot of water and the cop shot her? And you think, you could have backed away. You did not need to do
take
anything.
A beat. You could take a beat and just you sort of wait to see what happens. And then we were attending a class, and halfway through, she said, do you want to take over?
So to you.
To Tyler, myself, and Tree, we sort of all did this, and we're like, okay, we're from Second City. We're going to lead you through some exercises.
Mm.
So.
And the and these FBI agents ultimately responded favorably.
Yeah. We did, the first exercise we did was called Take That Back, and we had trios. And we said, just have a conversation. And the third person, your job is to clap your hands at some point during the conversation. When you do that, whatever the person, the last thing they said, they have to take it back and say something else. And don't be afraid not to clap a few times for someone. So it's sort of practicing, how do I pivot in a moment? How am I agile in a moment to say something different, to not be afraid? I mean, so much of improv is getting you out of your fear, your shame brain, your judgment brain, all those things that make you free to just improvise and to just act. And the cool thing about this was, because we've been observing classes for a few days, right? I knew in this particular class, there was one guy who was so much the alpha in every other class. He was big and smart and loud. And after we did the exercise, he raised his hand and goes, I effing get it.
Really?
And it was like, and we were done. Like we were
our work here is done.
Well, it was just beginning.
So you and I are talking about the tournament, and I say, I think that Duke is really going to win. I mean, how could they? Somebody claps their hands. Now I've got to say something different about the tournament.
Or just the word. They could lose. They could win. They could not show up.
Yeah.
And it's that practice of the fact that in these situations, especially in these sort of like hostage negotiation situations, you have to be prepared for anything to happen.
I'm just amazed in a way, Kelly, that these exercises would translate as well. I mean, that seems like almost a party game, and yet you're telling me that that's good training for police officers and FBI agents. Kelly Leonard, Vice President of Creative Strategy over at Second City, is Getting to Yes and Podcasts often talks to people about communication, improvisation. He's been telling us about how those skills applied to police work, FBI work, can be beneficial to the cops and the agents, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you were talking before the break about how this might apply to you in a car getting pulled over, right?
No, that's maybe the most common interaction.
So I would say, well, I do say, and we say to these folks, that the key to a successful conversation starts with listening. It doesn't start with your talking. So how do you become a better listener? So one of the exercises that we led these folks through is a simple one, and it's called Last Word. You have them have a conversation, low-stakes conversation about anything, and there's only one rule, which is that you each have to start your sentence with the last word the other person said. So what does this do? Well, first and foremost, it requires you to listen to the end of the sentence, which, guess what? We don't do. And why don't we do it, right? Well, we want to appear smart. We think we got the gist of what they said. But if you're on stage at Second City and you're improvising and you have no script, all you have is the full sentence of the thing that the person said across from you to respond to. You recognize that
you're not working with a script.
Yeah, and that crucial information could be those last three words. And here's the other thing. So are you maybe thrown off and they ended with orange and you don't know how to start your sentence with orange? You're overthinking it. Just say orange. and did we give you any other rule? There was no other rule. You could say orange. It's great to see you. There was no other.
Right.
We impose these rules on these conversations because we think they're supposed to go a certain way. So if you start with that, that's crucial.
And if I may,
yeah.
And that does signal to the person, I heard what you said.
I heard what you said. Oh, people love being seen and heard. They really do.
But you do hear people do that sometimes. They'll repeat the last word and then kind of pause and then move on. I don't know if they're studied in this or that's their natural talent, but I think that's helpful.
Yeah. So a few things, right? The pause is helpful because you might think it's awkward. The other person thinks you're taking in what they said, which is better. The paraphrasing or trying to say, I want to make sure I understand what you just said. And then you repeat it to them. And they can tell you, like, oh, no, you missed this thing. Or you add something. That's also very satisfying. The other thing that we teach, and this is based on that work we did at the University of Chicago with the behavioral scientists, is that people are reluctant to self-disclose. So we do exercises where we're like, you just need to share a little bit of information about who you are. You know, like my boss at Second City went to Michigan. And one of the things that anyone who goes to Michigan, if they find out someone went to Michigan, is they talk about it. It's all go blue.
Yes.
It's annoying. But it's effective. It's effective in making a connection.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting a puppy, which is a true thing. So at the end of April, we're going to get a Bernese Mountain Dog. We had a Bernese Mountain Dog that we lost in the fall, lived a good long life. But every time I talk about that, you know, a lot of people want to talk about their dogs, and that creates a little bit of a connection. So it doesn't, you're in a high-stakes situation, which doesn't require you to have high-stakes language. In fact, it requires you to use your most human kind of language of connection.
So the guy pulls me over. If I were the cop and I wanted to make this as easy a transaction as possible, I don't know if the officer's going to write a ticket or not.
Yep.
But then I roll down my window and I say, there's a tree by the stop sign and there was no way I could see it. And so I'm sorry, but I just didn't see it because that stupid tree's in the way. The city should do something about that.
Nope. Don't do that.
Wait, what?
You know, you listen to them first. They pulled you over. You come up. How can I help you, officer?
Oh, I'm supposed to say that?
Yeah. Or you don't say anything.
Oh,
they're going to tell you what to do.
I thought he was going to let me talk first, but I should. You think I should throw the ball to him?
Sure. Because you don't know why he pulled you over. He's got the status in the situation.
So he says, well, you just ran that stop sign and blah, 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 blah. Can I see you? And then I'll say, and then I wonder what I can say to mitigate this situation.
I don't know there's that much you can do. I think you give them your information, and you might add, I'm sorry I missed it. I mean, I think the last thing this cop wants to hear is you bumbling around for your five or six different reasons that you broke the law, which you probably did.
It would have been nice if they had cut down that tree branch because it was in the way of the stop sign. I thought that what I was doing was giving my spiel, and the officer would then say, tree branch. Yep. That stop sign is partly obstructed by the tree branch, and he summarizes what the driver has said, and maybe he's still going to write a ticket because you still wrote the stop sign, but at least he has acknowledged your situation.
I think I've read enough negotiation books and interviewed enough people for the podcast to know that in any kind of negotiation, you don't lead with exactly what you want.
Oh, interesting.
You first find out what's the pie here? You know, what context are we in together that is going to be a win-win for both parties? Maybe he doesn't want to write the ticket and go look up the other thing, and you can give him that space to not do that. Maybe it's he kind of thought you did this, but he didn't. Or maybe he's absolutely sure you did and you're getting the ticket.
Yeah, but probably asking him about Dunkin' Donuts is not a good idea.
Probably not a good idea.
I mean, my brother did that one time. Mark, if you're listening, you know it's kind of funny, but the first thing he said to the officer, because he was angry at the officer for pulling him over, he said something like, slow day, officer.
Oh, no.
And I thought, okay, well, guess who's getting a ticket now?
Yeah.
That's not making light conversation. Kelly, we're out of time, but what's maybe the last takeaway from you based on your instruction?
Let me say this. So we didn't get into this, but 2 weeks ago, we presented at the 44th Annual Hostage Negotiation Seminar in Baltimore. We did an interactive keynote for about 600 FBI, law enforcement, who all deal with just harrowing experiences. And these, I would say probably the bulk of these people don't vote like I do, and probably share very different sort of cultural values. But in a session which went really well, and then I was there for another 2 days, and we all were, Tree and Tyler and I, people were great. And they had real life stuff to talk about. And they talked about how they took the exercises home to play them with their wives or their husbands.
Mm.
And this is not a very hopeful time for a lot of us. And that those few days in Baltimore with these folks made me a little more hopeful.
Why?
Because we don't need to be defined by our differences. We can also allow us to be defined by the things that we have in common, which I think are more.
Yeah, I think when some of us run into that now, we think we are, though, denying the difference, and that's artificial. Maybe we just have to accept that, but agree that there can be genuinely nice qualities about that person on the other side.
I don't know. I don't live in a world where I assume everyone agrees with me 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Kelly Leonard, Vice President of Creative Strategy and Innovation and Business Development over at Second City. He's the host of the Getting to Yes And podcast. Boy, this is a good one. What's the title of this one when I search for it?
I think we just improv and law enforcement was how we title it.
It's and you're in charge of creativity?
Yeah. Well, sometimes you want to just be on the nose.
It's nice to see you again, Kelly.
Good to see you.